We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, Sheffield Community Church. A special welcome to all of us today as we celebrate Father's Day. If you are in England, it's Father's Day. Today is a day when we give our tribute to the fathers, whether spiritual or physical. We just want to give you a thumbs up and say, may the Lord be with you. Well done. If ever you need guidance from what it is to be a father, then you got to look up to God, who is the Father of all mankind. I want to just continue with the topic I started last week, the series on God's most wanted list. And today, as we think about fathers, I want to focus on a man that we meet in the book of Genesis. And so the topic for today is a man on the run. God's most wanted list, and we're looking at a man on the run. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 through to 32. The book of Genesis chapter 32, from verse 24 to 32. The Bible reads, "And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day has broken.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.'" Verse 27. "And he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' Then he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with man and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And there he blessed him." Verse 30. "So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, 'For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered.' The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In general, as man, today I want to speak to man for a few minutes, and then we will speak to everybody else listening. I think it's important we acknowledge that today we celebrate man. I want to just say a few things about that, and then I get into the message. In general, as man, I'm a man, so there are things I understand about men that I'm confident to share today. As men, we have a drive to want to get ahead in life. We want to control our destiny. We are willing to do whatever it takes to achieve that. Despite the odds, we keep trying to make things happen, to be successful, to have influence, and stay ahead. The blind spot is that the more self-reliant and self-absorbed we get, the more difficult it is for God to get our attention. So we spend a large part of our lives chasing this dream and fighting for a future that we have carved out for ourselves outside of God's plan. This is the story of Jacob, the man we read about earlier on. I think we all, in one way or the other, identify with Jacob. We don't want to let God control our lives. We won't allow God to have room at all in any parts of our lives. We, like Jacob, find it a tough thing to release control to anybody, including God. So Jacob was always trying to control his life. When he saw an opportunity to take the birthright from his older brother Esau, he grabbed the opportunity with both hands. And when his mother advised him to trick his father into giving him the birthright, thinking that he was Esau, Jacob went for it. He took advantage of his older brother. And when his brother Esau got angry with him, Jacob fled to his uncle Laban on the other end of the known world. So when we meet Jacob in Genesis chapter 32, we meet a man who has run out of options. The Bible reads in verse 24, "So Jacob was alone." Jacob was left alone. After 20 years working for his father-in-law Laban, Jacob recognized that he had outlived his welcome. He could see that staying was not an option anymore because Laban and his sons were now hostile to him and his family. So Jacob packed his family and his livestock and fled. Now Jacob was stuck between a rock and a hard place. He divided his family into different traveling groups. You see, he was scared of meeting Esau. So he sent gifts ahead to Esau. He called him master, and he tried to divide his family so that if Esau decides to attack, at least a part of the family will survive. But in all this that Jacob was trying to work out, the fact still remains that he had to meet his brother Esau. Mother Teresa once said that, "You will never know God is all you have." He said, "You'll never know that God is all you need until he's all you have." We often see such circumstances as a crisis in our lives, the crisis that Jacob found himself in between a rock and a hard place. But when God looks at those situations, he sees them as opportunities to meet with us, to help us and come through for us. I think that is the experience of Jacob, and we identify with this experience, this transforming experience that Jacob had. And I want us to look closely and try to understand what happened to Jacob to get himself on God's wanted list, the God's most wanted list, rather. So what happened to Jacob? Well, the first thing we notice from what we just read is that Jacob met with God alone. Verse 24 says, "And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day." Like Jacob, we resist God. This is what we often do. When we have a question we can't answer, when we are afraid, when we don't know what to do, when we look to God and we feel like, perhaps I could get help from God, that's when we reach out to him. Because there's something that has gone wrong. We've run out of options. So as we face challenges in life, maybe you do face challenges today, this morning, as a dad, as a mom, as a child, we come to a point where we know we can't just fix things, including ourselves. That's when we need to be reminded that he is the vine. Apart from him, we can do nothing. When Jacob was alone and had nowhere to turn, he finally faced God. And he wrestled with him until the breaking of the day, the Bible tells us. Too often when we are on the run, we assume that God is on no agenda. It often takes a crisis in our lives to awaken us to the fact that we need God. See, but when we face God, we soon realize that God cannot be reduced to an item on our agenda. God cares for us, yes, it's true. And God wants to meet our needs, yes, it's true. But God will not circle to be any other business in the agenda of our lives. That's not the God we serve. When we face God, we have to come to terms with the fact that God will meet us according to his terms and not ours. There is no compromise on that standard. Whoever God met and whatever God man used in the scriptures or woman he used, it was always on his terms. And he will not compromise that standard for you or for me or for anybody else. This is the first thing we learn about Jacob. that he had to meet with God when he had run out of options. And maybe you're on the run this morning. God is looking for you. The people that God is looking for to be on his most wanted list are men and women who are on the run. Are men and women who have run out of options. And God has a plan for your life. He's waiting for you to come to a place where you have nowhere to turn. Only God will be there for you. And I would like to encourage you to take this opportunity. I'm glad Jacob noticed that there was something different that day when he was alone and met with God. The second thing we realize about Jacob that made him become one of God's most wanted men in terms of getting into the list is that God brought Jacob in the right places. God brought Jacob in the right places. In verse 25 of Genesis chapter 32, we read that when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And notice how Jacob is still brave enough to say, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Typical Jacob. Before Jacob ever wrestled with God, he was a broken man. He was deceptive. He was impatient and even manipulative. He was a schemer. He had sacrificed relationships that were important in his life. He was not on talking terms with Esau, his own twin brother. Even as Jacob wrestled with God, you will notice that he still wanted to stay in control. He refused to let go of his opponent, and he insisted that he receives a blessing from God. In other words, he still hoped to detect the terms, just as he had the first time he had an encounter with God in Bethel. You see, in Bethel, God showed him a very powerful vision of heaven opening and angels descending and ascending between heaven and earth. And yet with all that he saw, Jacob was open to God as long as God would go along with his plan. And his plan was very simple. He wanted God to be with him, to watch over him, to provide for him, and to bring him back home to his father's house. These were the terms Jacob set out to God before he was willing to submit to him. He wasn't prepared to go out of his way to make room for God in his life. But this time at Peniel, Jacob was not in control. God broke him and used the pain of dislocating his hip to get his attention. The Bible says the sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his pain. If Jacob wanted to be blessed by God, he had to submit to God. That was the message that God was sending him to him at Peniel. That is the way God works. If we want to gain his favor, we must be willing to lose ourselves. When Jacob was broken by God, you must realize that his life opened the door of the healing of his broken self. And not only that, there were many kinds of brokenness that Jacob was struggling with that day. He had relationships to mend. He had a character to work on. He had some issues he needed to settle between him and God and his family. So when Jacob, that moment came for him to be broken by God, God dealt with a lot of things in his life. You see, we don't need to be fixed to come to God. You don't need to be perfect to come to God. When we come to God, we need to be broken, just as we are. That's how God wants us to come. We cannot be of much use to God in any case if we're not broken. God uses broken people. The reason he uses broken people is because God is able to make them into something. See, brokenness precedes a breakthrough in your life to become everything God desires for you to be. Don't make God do things the hard way with you. Submit to him and allow him to mold you to the kind of person he wants you to become. You see, God has the capacity and the ability to put us together when he has broken us. He's the only person you can trust to put your life together after he has broken you. And when he puts you together, he wants you to become everything he created you to be. And mind you, God never makes a mistake. And God will never experiment with your life. So when God breaks you, it's because he has got plans for your life. And this is the God that we serve. There is no other way God can deal with a man. There is no other way God can handle anything in your life unless he has broken you first. I'm reminded of Peter and his friends when they spent all night fishing and caught nothing. And then the next day they met Jesus Christ. And when Jesus said, cast the nets back into the Sea of Galilee, Peter was concerned about that. He was worried because he knew that we've caught nothing the night before. And he had reason to be concerned that why would we cast a net in broad daylight? And yet it was in that brokenness of catching nothing all night that God was able to transform them and make them into fishers of men that went ahead to turn Jerusalem upside down. Those are the kind of men and women that God wants to use. Those are the kind of men and women that make it into God's most wanted list. And you could be that man. You could be that woman this morning. If only you would allow God to break you. Let him have his way. Let him do what he wants to do with your life. And he will make you into something he wants you to become. There's a third thing that I want us to notice that happened to Jacob. Jacob finally found himself in God. When God asked Jacob in verse 27, what is your name? God will never ask you a question because he doesn't know. We know that God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God doesn't ask a question for information. The reason God will ask you a question is so that you may find out where you are at. And so when he was looking for Adam in the Garden of Eden, after they ate the fruit, God says, where are you, Adam? It's not because God did not know where Adam was. God wanted Adam to find out that he was now in a wrong place. He had dislocated himself from where God wanted to find him. And so when God is asking Jacob, what is your name? It's because God wants Jacob to admit who he is. The name Jacob means a heel catcher. It means a deceiver. It means a schemer. God wanted Jacob to admit what he was so that he could become what God designed him to be. Without that admission of who we are before God, we can't move on to the next level of our identity. For God to use him, Jacob had to give up his old nature. He had to let go of his pride, set aside his agenda, and lose his identity as Jacob the supplanter, as Jacob the deceiver. God wanted to change this man, but he had to give up being Jacob. Perhaps there are things you need to give up this morning. Perhaps there are things you need to set aside on your agenda. God might be dealing with you this morning and is asking you, what is your name? Because God wanted to redefine Jacob, and he did that day. He redefined Jacob. Jacob the trickster, Jacob mama's boy, Jacob the liar who fooled his father, Jacob the guy who was always scheming for the next move in his life. God changed him into a new person. He gave him a new name that day. He became a servant of God. He became a humble parent trying to guide his children into the ways of God. He became a father of a nation that day. God gave him a new name, and the name was Israel, which means he who struggles with God, or in other translations, the Prince of God. God had bigger plans for Jacob. Even though Jacob was always chasing the next thing, wanting to get on the next level of success according to his plans, God had much bigger plans. It's not just about wealth. It's not just about the next job. It's not just about the next house. It's not just about the next car. It's about God's agenda. That is what should dominate our lives. That is what should trump over everything that we are chasing in this world. For the kingdom of God must be sought first, and all these other things shall be added unto us. This is the word of God. This is what God says. God had plans for Jacob. He wanted him to be a father of nations. He wanted his children to be an offspring of kings and queens. He wanted out of this family of Jacob to bring forth his Messiah, Jesus Christ, so that every family in the world will be blessed through the Son of God. That was God's agenda. That was God's plan for Jacob. And yet Jacob still had this little plan he had, this parochial plan he had of Jacob himself and nobody else except his family. And in the meantime, God wanted to shake nations through this one man and his family. I want to say this again. What is your name this morning? What a great name that God gave Jacob. And you know what? We too can have that name. Because most of us, we all struggle with God. We can all struggle with God. We can all have an encounter with God. I think we all have a hard time letting God take control in our lives. But like Jacob, we need to surrender ourselves to become a new, better self. You must lose yourself to find yourself in God. There is no other way. And when you find yourself in God's terms, you will have fulfillment in life. The ultimate goal in life is to be fulfilled in God's purpose for your life. That's where true fulfillment comes from. This is when you understand why God brought you to earth. This is where you understand the gifts that God gave you and how to use them for His glory. And you begin to know the why you are on earth. And it is at that point that your life will be fulfilled. You know what, folks? You can spend your whole life chasing a dream that has nothing to do with God. You can spend your whole life chasing things that will never satisfy you. And Jacob came to that place where he met with God face to face. And God says, Jacob, I need to change your name. You can't continue with that name. You can't continue on that trajectory. You can't continue chasing a dream that will grow wings and fly away and leave you despondent and leave you confused and leave you dislocated. Today, God is looking for you. You are on God's most wanted list. You may feel like you are at a dead end and you have run out of options this morning. I want to assure you that God has a plan for your life. Surrender your life to Him and discover the new life He has for you. You'll begin to experience a new life of grace, a life of grace and abundance in Christ. You'll never be the same man or same woman ever. You could be here today and you're hearing this message and you know deep down in your heart that God is not on your agenda. It's your agenda and yours alone. But you're getting tired of chasing an agenda that is not fulfilling your life. You are coming to a place where you're even wondering whether this thing works, whether your life matters at all. Don't allow what you think to get in the way of who God thinks you are. You can be something in God. God has big plans for your life. God knows who you are, not who you hope to be, or what people think of you, or what your mom wanted you to become. But God knows exactly who you really are. And hence is asking you, what is your name? The real question today I have for you is, do you know who you are in Christ? God wants control of your life. Not in a bad way, but so that He can give you a new name, a fresh start, a brand new life. But you got to let go of the past. You got to let go of your pride, of your schemes, of your old nature, and put on the new self, a new life in Christ. Maybe you're listening to this message today. Maybe you're new even to this Facebook page, wherever you're logged in. And you're realizing that you have not allowed God into every area of your life. You have not given God room at all. It's never too late to let God come into your life. It's never too late to make room for God wherever you are. God still wants to bless you. God still wants to live inside of you and release His life through you. And today, I'd like to pray with you. And as I pray, I want you to remember that God is looking for men and women who are on the run. God is not looking for perfect people. God is looking for people that are broken, people that are giving up, people that have come to wit's end. They don't know what to do anymore. God is reaching out to you today. On this Father's Day, your life could change. So will you join me as I pray? Father, I thank you for your people that are listening today. How I pray, my Lord and my Master, I ask for the blessing that only you can give to your people, starting with the blessing of salvation, that they that don't know you today may surrender their lives to you, and that, Lord Jesus, you may appear to them. It might not be today, it might not be tomorrow. Whenever it is, oh God, I pray that when they have this encounter with the living God, that, my God, you will give them a new name. A new name, a new creation, that the old is gone, the new has come. Even as they invite you to come into their lives and you dine with them, I pray, my Lord, that you're able to cleanse them from within and start afresh with them. And start a new life with them, a life of abundance, a life of God's presence, in the name of Jesus. I also pray, my Lord, for those that see themselves in different ways, but that, Lord God, they'll begin to open their eyes and see themselves from your perspective, from your eyes. And that, Lord God, they'll let go of themselves and give you control over their lives. And that, Lord, you may show them why you created them and guide them into the path you have prepared for them. In the powerful name of Jesus. And also, Lord, I want to pray for healing today. Those that are not feeling well, I just pray, Lord, as they lift up their hands before your throne, that you will heal them today. Release your healing power. May they sense the healing power of God flowing in their system right now. If there's someone today who's having a problem with your leg, your left leg. There's pain through that leg right now. I want to pray. May God heal that leg right now in the name of Jesus. That, my God, you may stretch out your hand and heal that leg in the name of Jesus. Let your power flow and strengthen and bring healing on that leg in Jesus' name. Father, your word is true. By your stripes, we are healed. So I release your healing power, Lord, to flow among your children. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I want to thank God for you today. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for logging in. We'd like to hear from you. If God has blessed you, if God has done something in your life, or you want to inquire anything, we pray that you'll get in touch with us. Phil is going to give us more details as he comes. And please do stay in touch. Remember, God wants to give you a new name. May the Lord richly bless you as you celebrate on this day, Father's Day. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.